The tour content from now through Lagba Omer has been generously sponsored by Malki M. Thank you, Malki. June is less than a month away, which means that I'll soon be transitioning into summer writing mode, with more Substack articles and fewer recorded shiurim. The bulk of these articles will remain free. However, if you would like to support my Torah and gain access to additional spicy written content, consider becoming a paid subscriber by going to rabbischneeweis.substack.com and signing up today.
Okay, so this is the first session of the tefillah shiur. Two logistics points. One is that on Wednesdays, I have to leave like exactly at 9 o'clock. Whereas on Thursdays, I'm going to be here like for longer than that. So we'll try to wrap it up by then. But otherwise, I can hang around for questions. The other thing is, the other point is that I started this 5-minute Kavana series on YouTube. And I wanted to explain the relationship between this year and that year. So I started that off with examining the phrase Baruch Atah Hashem. So that's a good place to start. And that's really like, I would start this year with that. But since I'm so far into that on the series, I figure guys who want to understand what Baruch Atah Hashem is can just watch the videos. But then we're going to start a new thing. And what's going to happen is this is going to be the learning workshop, which produces material for that YouTube series. So we're going to be learning through stuff together. And then I'm going to convert that into 5-minute videos. Okay. And right now I've prepared this ahead of time, but we're going to probably get to a point where I'm learning it along with the guys here. Okay. So that's the plan. Okay. So for starters, I figured, so this is a tefillah shiur, but like I got really into brachos over the summer. So we're going to start with brachos hashachar. And your first trick question, it's a double trick question, is what is the first one of the brachos hashachar? And it's a double trick question. So there's like two false answers. Josh is shaking his head.
At this point, the fact that it's a double trick question, I got it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll give you the first trick answer. The first trick answer, the first answer to avoid the first trick is there is no first because there's no order to the brachos hashachar.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, right. And we're going to probably get into that later on. But that itself is a trick answer because there is one that has to come first, and it's a trick because the first of the brachos hashachar is not in the morning. That's your hint. Any guesses as to what it is? Okay, so open up the Rambam in Sefer Ahava to the 7th parak. Josh, if you have a Rambam there, actually, what I'm going to actually.
Yeah, just, I have a Rambam.
Okay, sure. I'll just lay it on the screen anyway, because for the people at home, I mean, the people at home other than Josh. Okay, let's see here. So Sefer Ahava, Hilchos Tefila, Perek Zion. Okay, hold on just 1 second here. I'm going to make sure I'm sharing the right screen. Okay, so he starts off with Kishetiknu Chachamim Divrei Tefilos Elu. So when the Chachamim established these Tefilos, Tiknu, oh, and just basic information here, right? Who created the Tefilos?
Ezra
and his Beis Din, right? Ezra and the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. So, Kishetiknu Chochamim Divrei Tefilos Elu, when they created these matters of Tefila, Tiknu Brachos Acheres Levarech Osan B'chol Yom. They establish other brachos that you say every day. The Eluhin, and these are they, Kishayikanes Adam Lemitaso Lishon B'layla Mevarech Baruch Atah Hashem Elokei Malchalam Hamapil Chevle Shena Al Einai, etc. So, when a person enters to his bed to go to sleep at night, then he should make the bracha of Hamapil. So Hamapil is the first of the brachos hashachar, okay? And it's weird because, well, I mean, it's weird for obvious reasons. Why is that weird?
Because it's before you go to sleep.
It's before you go to sleep, right? It's not in the morning. Now, he doesn't call it brachos hashachar, and in fact, that's a term, I don't know who first used that term, but it's the first of the brachos of the day, because you'll see that from here on, he goes in order. And just to reinforce this point, I'm just going to show this on the screen here. So there's a Rambam Siddur. Okay, and you open up page 1, and it's Hamapil. Okay, so it's actually, it actually is functionally the first one in the Siddur. And then if you look at the Mefarshim on Tefillah, like the Abu Durim, he also puts the Hamapil first. He says, I'm going to explain all the brachos now, and then he starts off with Hamapil. So I figure since we're doing brachos HaShachar, let's start off with Hamapil. Okay, and I have a handy dandy source sheet. So what we're going to start off with is we're going to start. Oh, and then this is where Josh reminds me to put the source sheet.
We're up to the handy dandy source sheet.
Thank you. Thank you. Good. All right. So good man. Okay. So I figure what we'll start with today is the translations. I don't know who, in terms of people who are watching or participating here, who is familiar with my method of tefillah. I have a five-minute video on that also. So my method of tefillah is called the method, which is the six M's, which is Milim, Mikra, Mefarshin, Mesorah, Mind, and Meaning. Okay, and the first step is Milim, which is just translate it. And what I like to do is because we don't know, because there are different versions of tefillah, then I like to compare several different nuskhaos, different versions. And what I start off with is I compare, if it's stated in the Gemara, I start with that. But then I like to compare Nusach Ashkenaz with Nusach HaRambam. And the reason for that is we're most familiar with Nusach Ashkenaz, but Nusach HaRambam is an older Nusach that is reliable and, you know, is authoritative in terms of the version that we have is, that we're going to be using is signed off by the Rambam himself. Like he actually read that particular manuscript and signed it saying, this is what I hold is correct. And so that'd be a good starting point. And as we do in the Mefarshim, we'll see why there, you know, we'll scrutinize differences. But just basic facts here. Why are there different nuskhaos?
I'm assuming just the Mesorah got forgotten words, you know?
Okay. Do you know why that, or do you know how? Like you're correct.
There's no printing press, you know?
Right. Okay. More than just no printing press. It was actually, Josh, do you know? No? Okay. So, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah created the Nusach HaTefillah at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, okay, which is in around like 5th century BCE. And the text of the Tefillos was part of Torah Sheval Peh until the first Siddur was written. And anyone know who wrote the first Siddur down? No? Rav Amram Gaon. So Rav Amram Gaon was in the 9th century. Okay, so we're talking a good like 1300 years-ish, maybe, you know, more, I don't know my exact dates, that the Siddur was entirely by memory, and therefore, that's why it was lost and subject to changes. Here's a source sheet. You can catch up on the first part later. We're starting with Brachos, with Hamapiel, because it's the first of the Brachos HaShachar, even though you say it at night.
Okay.
According to the Rambam, yeah. Okay, and what we're doing today is we're going to just go over the translations, and compare the different versions of the bracha.
Cool.
Okay, good. Okay, so let us start off, okay? And I think what I'm going to do, I've decided, I think, like the model for translation here is I'm going to read and translate unless I want to call attention to a subtle translation, and then I'll ask you guys to translate. I think it'll just be more efficient that way. So you see at the top, the Gemara actually gives us a nusach of the bracha. It says, Hanichnas lishom al hamitaso, one who enters to sleep on his bed. Now, pause there for 1 second, okay? So this is not intended as a halacha shir, but we kind of have to confront the halachos at certain points just to understand the text. So do you know, like that phrase, Hanichnas lishon al mitaso, Omer, you know, Omer, and he's going to say the bracha. When do you say this bracha and when do you not say this bracha?
You don't say it when you're laying down in the...
Okay, so that's interesting, right? So you're getting that from the Nichnas part?
Nichnas, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. That's actually a separate question of like the postures and scenarios that you're in when you say the bracha. Yeah. Any other observations or guesses or insights?
Not right before you go to sleep. But not like the second before you
Right. So this does imply, I guess, that it's really upon entry to bed, but like if you're in bed doing other things, then you don't say the bracha right before you go to sleep. You say it when you enter bed, right? That part is another halakha that is like a minefield, you know? You do not say this when you go to, when you just go to sleep. Like if you were to doze off, like, on a subway or something like that, you wouldn't say it. It's not a bracha on sleep per se. It's a bracha that you say on going to sleep in your bed. Question of whether it's like davka your bed. Not sure about that. But people, you know, the poskim do raise the question of like, you know, if you sleep during the day, does that count? Or is it specifically Belila? Like the Rambam we just read, I believe said Belila, you know? Okay. So that's, Hanichnas lishon al mitaso. Personal question, not to get into your halakhic business, but just in terms of fishing for shitos, do you guys say this bracha?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I heard that there is a minhag that some people have to not say it. And there are reasons for that also. Do you know what the reasons are for not saying it?
You might not fall asleep.
Yes, those people, there are people who say that if it's possible that you're not going to fall asleep, or if it's possible that you're going to talk and interrupt, then you refrain from saying it, and then somehow that became a thing to not say it.
So my Rebbe always framed it as it's a bracha on trying to go to sleep.
Yeah, right. That's exactly that's how I understand it also. And the Aruch HaShulchan does say that that if you go to bed with the intention to go to sleep, you should say the bracha, and even if you don't fall asleep, that's not really your problem. Kind of like, I mean, he doesn't use this analogy, but it's analogous to if you know, the bracha that you say when you search for chametz. It's not like you have to find chametz. It's a bracha on the search. I mean, it's not exactly analogous, but it's reminiscent of. Okay, so he says, Omer Shema Yisrael Ad V'Haya Im Shema. So that's what we call Kriya Shema Al Mita. We're not really going to plan on getting into that right now. Okay. V'Omer, Baruch Hamapio Chavle Shena Al Einai. All right. That's our first translation question. How do you translate Hamapio Chevle Shena Al Einai?
Wait, before we get there, It seems like you say Shema before.
Oh, this is another Machlokas. Right. Machlokas, whether you say Shema and then Hamapio or the other way around. Ramam holds you say Hamapio then Shema. And I think the majority opinion is you say Shema then Hamapio.
Oh, really?
I think that's the majority opinion. I have not looked into that recently. Yeah, yeah.
Shema first.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, and there are reasons for both. Like for the I think the main thing for saying Hamapiel as the last thing you say before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
Anyone know?
Oh, because it's connected to Elokei.
Right. The next bracha we're gonna plan to do is Elokei Neshama, and the big problem with that bracha is it doesn't open with Baruch,
right.
And it does end with Baruch, which implies it's a bracha Hasmuch Lachaverta. And the question is, it's not smukha l'chaverta because there's no bracha that comes before it. So the two options that people give are either that it's samach to asher yatzar, that you say asher yatzar first and then elokei neshama, which works for the modern practice of saying all the brachos in a certain order.
But not for the Rambam
and not for the Gemara, because in the Gemara you say elokei neshama as soon as you wake up. And so there are those who theorize, I think this is also the Rush, who says that that it's smucha to hamapiel. So you say hamapiel when you go to sleep, and then the next bracha you say is elokei. A little weird that you're sleeping in between, that's not a hefsek in any way, but so that's one opinion why you put hamapiel last. There are other ways around the question also. Like there are those who say that elokei nishma doesn't have to start with baruch because it's a birkas hoda'a, and there is a genre of birkas, long brachos hoda'a, that don't start with baruch and only end with baruch, like the bracha on rain, which we don't say very often. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. Good question. Okay, so how would you translate Hamapil Chavle Shina Al Einai?
To bring down the something of my eyes.
Oh, yeah. So Hamapil is to literally to cause to fall,
asleep,
right?
Eyes, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so Chavel, Chavle or Chavel?
Oh.
If you just heard the word Chavel,
rope?
Yeah, rope is one, right? Bonds, I think that's how our school translates it, the bonds of sleep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, if you want to just cheat for 1 second, I mean, we're not cheat, but we're skipping ahead a little bit. If you look down to the Abudirim at the bottom, he gives two interpretations, okay? He says, and we're just doing this now for the sake of, I'll just summarize a ball pat here. Okay, chevle can be portions, like you shouldn't do mitzvos chavilos, like in bundles. And are you familiar with the phrase chevle yoleda?
No.
So birth pangs or travails or spasms, okay? So either spasms of sleep, bonds of sleep, or bundles of sleep. Either way, very weird, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll leave that for the time being. Okay, so bundles of sleep or whatever on my eyes, usnuma al apapai, and to slumber upon my eyelids. Okay, tnuma, you go into the whole thing about like what the difference is between tnuma and shena. And you have a working definition of tnuma?
Like deep sleep.
Okay, that's interesting. I'll have to see if anyone says that. I'm under the impression that tardema is deep sleep.
Okay.
Tnuma, like, have you heard the phrase like misnamnim? Misnamnim is like dozing off, you know? So I don't know if there's good English word, dozingness.
Okay.
Okay, well, for our purposes, we'll just treat it as synonyms until we find out otherwise. Umeir le'ishon bas ayin. Any guesses as to that?
All right.
enlightening and enlightened to something of
Yeah. So in illuminating or enlightening the pupil of the eye. Okay. I don't know the exact translation. I think Ishon is related to blackness, like the Ishon Lila. And Bas Ayin, daughter of the eye, is obviously an idiom. So the blackness, if I said find the black daughter of your eye, you'd probably guess it's the pupil, not the other parts of the eye, right? Okay. Yihiratzon milfenecha Hashem Elokai, may it be favorable before Hashem, before you, Hashem. Okay. This is a pet peeve of mine. Art school translates it as, or actually, I don't know about art school. Some Siddurim translate it as, may it be your will, Hashem. Okay. And there's a subtle advantage to translating the way I did, which is, I mean, it's more accurate, but like, what's the metaphysical advantage to saying may be favorable before you?
It's less anthropomorphic.
It's less anthropomorphic, right? If you say, may it be your will, which it's not like we don't use that phrase, but if you say, may it be your will, then you're putting emphasis on like God's will being affected somehow. Whereas if you say, may it be favorable before you, the emphasis is on, may my actions find favor before you, you know? Still anthropomorphic, but less so because it's one step removed.
Yeah.
So,
right, Uncle. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, Unglos does this a lot. Yeah, yeah. May be favorable before you, Hashem, my God. Shetashkivinu l'shalom, that you cause me to lie down in peace. V'sein chalki b'sor secha, and you give me my portion in your Torah. V'targilinu l'idei mitzvah, and you accustom me literally into the hands of a mitzvah, whatever that means. V'tal targilinu l'dvar avera, l'idei avera, don't accustom me to avera, to transgression. V'al tvini l'idei chet, and do not bring me to chet, v'lo l'idei avon, and not to iniquity. Do you guys have a working difference between avera, chet, and avon in a vacuum? Like, obviously, these terms are used different ways in different contexts.
It has to do with intent.
So, chet and avon definitely have to do with intent. Avera is not usually in that trio, right? It usually is chet, avon, and pasha.
Yeah.
So, avera I translate as transgression because I find that in most cases, avera refers to a specifically to a halachic transgression, whereas chet and avon can also be expanded to things that are non-halachic. And then within that, what level of intentionality is chet versus avon?
I think chet's intentional. I think avon.
Yeah. So chet, and here's the way to remember it. I mean, I guess, you know what the literal meaning of chata is?
Like missing a mark.
Missing a mark, right? Missing a target, like if you shoot an arrow. So that's unintentional. And then avon is related to the word, according to the Sefer HaShirashim of the Radah, it's ayin vav tav, which means distortion, which is intentional. Okay, that's a greater distortion. If you're acting intentionally in a wrong way, then there's an actual distortion in your view or your mind, whereas like unintentional could just be you forgot,
right?
You know, v'lo lidei nisayon, and not into a trial or a test, v'lo lidei bizayon, and not to degradation, v'yishla bi yitzer tov, al yishla bi yitzer hara, let the good inclination dominate me and let not the bad inclination dominate me. V'tatzilini mi pegara, save me from a bad and evil encounter. Mechalaim ra'im, and from bad diseases. V'al yivahaluni chalomos ra'im, v'hirhuim ra'im. Do not let bad dreams or bad thoughts, fantasies, musings, don't let them yivahaluni.
Like
behala.
Oh, I don't know.
Don't let them generate anxiety or like confound me or there's got to be a better word. That would be a better verb. Create anxiety, I think, is a good one for now. V'tehem mitasi shalema lefanecha, and let my bed be perfect or complete before you. V'hayir einai pein yishana mavis, and illuminate my eyes, lest I sleep death. Okay? Or like our score says, lest I sleep the sleep of death.
Isn't that same word, Ishan?
Ishan. Yeah. From the word for Shana, for sleep. Baruch Hashem, Hameir Lo Olam Kulo Bichvodo. You Hashem are the source of all blessing, who illuminates the world in its entirety with His glory. Yeah. Okay. Any first impressions about the bracha before we read the other two nuschaos? Like just things that jump out at you, questions you have.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of interesting how he starts off talking about sleep.
Yeah.
And then goes into the whole thing about mitzvos and
yes,
doing the right thing, and then goes back to sleep.
Okay, good. So you notice right away there's a thematic, like, break in the bracha. And turns out, let's do a little halachic archaeology. According to the tour, that middle part was added. Mm-hmm. Okay, so check out, skip down to the tour, the fourth source on the source sheet in Or Chaim. She says, Omer Baruch Hamap Yochav Lishena Al Ainai, Usnuma Al Papai, Omer Lishon Bas Ain. He brought some of the Nathan Hashem Lakai Shetashkin Lashalam, Sami Dane Lakhaim Lashalam, Al Yvalu Nikomos Raim Lahirim Raim, Vatami Tassi Shalim Lafnaka, Harina Pinshan Hamavis Brokh Tashem Hamir Lom Kulo Bichboto, Rav Amram Hosif Ba Devarim. So Rav Amram, like I said, the one who first wrote the Siddur, added things. Vatami Dane Vishalam, Vasin Chalki Besar Sacha, and goes through that whole thing.
It possibly means that Rav Amram just had more.
I believe he actually holds that Rav Amram added it, which raises a big question.
Yeah. How does he do that?
How does he do that? Okay, right. How does he have the right to do that? The halakhic license. What?
Quoted in the Gemara, though.
So it's if you look in the critical editions of the Gemara, then they will quote the Torah and say that that was added into the Gemara later on. Also, yeah, good point. Yeah, and you'll see that the let's really quickly look. I mentioned on Wednesdays I have to leave like right at 9.
Okay.
So let's just quickly look at Ashkenaz and Rambam and just note the differences between the two of them and the Gemara. So Ashkenaz says, what are the differences you notice between this and the Gemara?
They add the thing at the end.
Right. And you have a halakhic intuition as to why that was added.
Because you have to, I don't remember what it's called, but the
Chasima
has to be the same.
Exactly, right? So we have this rule that some of the Chasima, Chasima,
right?
I think that's the phrase. That the penultimate sentence has to be in line with the theme of the bracha. So it seems like that was added, that's there in order to make it match the end. Now, the Gemara has a similar. I mean, it does reference sleep, but apparently, according to the sources of this news of Ashkenaz, that's not enough. You actually have to mention the illumination of the pupil, mm-hmm. right? Because that's what the bracha directly talks about. What else is different between this and the Gemara? There are little differences like that. Hard to know whether to read into those.
Right.
I mean, it takes out the whole thing about sin.
Yeah, right. So it's missing that whole thing about sin and the Yitzer Tov and Yitzer Hara, right? So it's a little shorter, a little less packed and crowded. Okay, now let's look at the Rambam. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melchon Hamapil Chevle Shina Al Einai. I'm not a dictic guy, so I just rely on what others say. And apparently the old Temani Nuskas have it as Shina, not Shena, whatever. Umir Lishan Bas Ain, Hirota Milfanekha Hashem Elokai, Shetas Tzileni Mi Yetera Umi Pegara, Vaiva Haluni Halamos Raim Lo Hirim Raim, Vitiye Mitasi Shlem Elofanecha, Vesa'a Mideni Mimena Lachaim Ulashalom, Vahaira Enai Pain Ishan Hamaves, Barakata Hashem Hameir Lahola Olam. So what are the differences here? Between this and Ashkenaz, or this and the Gemara.
We have that line, Sami
Dinimimena. Yes, Sami Dinimimena Lachaim. That is not present in either of the other versions.
Right, I guess he says that instead of the Mitasi Shalim
Lefanacha. He does have that Mitasi Shalim Lefanacha, yeah.
He does. Oh, whoops. Yeah, you're right.
So the conclusion is also different.
Exactly. Not Bichvoda, right? Hameir Lechol Ha'olam. And when I first noticed that, I thought to myself, like, Hameir Lechol Ha'olam, if you just saw that phrase in isolation, what would you think it means just shot-wise?
Brings up the sun.
Yeah, brings up the sun, right? But then when you say Hameir Lechol Kulo Bichvodo, it throws like a little wrench into that. Like, are we speaking about some sort of figurative thing? Like, when you talk about Kavod Hashem, like, is that, that's like not, plain shot, not just like illuminating the,
right.
the world, like just with light itself. So that'll be a question we'll have to address. Other differences?
Maybe slight differences.
Yeah, slight differences, right? Like, for example...
Below here, where am I?
Right. Another slight difference is the Ashkenaz says, Hashem Elokai v'Elokei Avosai. Rambam's is just Elokei Avosai. Here it's on Milfanach Hashem Elokai.
Right.
Right, and our Gemara also has that, which... I think that's significant. I mean, I'm not saying it has to be this way, but like, why mention the Avos here anyway? Like, what does this have to do with Zichus Avos, you know?
Right.
But yeah. So what we'll do is, I think this is a good stopping point, and the plan is going to be like this. Okay. When we, I guess, let this percolate in your mind. When you say this bracha tonight, think about it. And like, there's a different experience of thinking about a bracha when you're in the midst of learning it versus like, just, you know,
yeah.
So think about it. And then the plan for tomorrow will be, I want to read through the Abu Dharam in its entirety, just to get his, the big picture. And then probably next week, I mean, I don't know what the time frame is going to be. We're going to take each phrase of the bracha and try to understand the idea behind it, and then try to understand, come up with a theory for the bracha as a whole and see how all the parts fit in.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Good. All right. Thanks. See ya.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sarah's night.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.